Hi, welcome to Smosh Asks, where there are no stupid questions. So we will be asking every question in our observable universe. Today we have a very special guest. He has a PhD in astronomy and astrophysics. He is an expert on planets which might support alien life. He's been published in leading astrophysics journals, and in his research he's collaborated with NASA and Harvard. Ever heard of them? And before all of that, he was a D1 college football player.
What?
Whoa.
Yeah. Leave some accolades for the rest of us. Everyone please welcome Dr. Dakota Tyler. Hello.
Hello.
I have to have you travel with me.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Okay, it's like an interview. Today, I am joined by Shane, who took an astronomy class in college and loves all things space and celestial bodies and vastness. Oh. I'm joined by Chance, who is our resident sci-fi nerd, has seen some, if not all, of the Star Wars franchises.
I've seen all of them.
All of them?
Yeah.
And Olivia has seen Interstellar.
That's
an incredible movie.
Best
it's
movie.
Really good.
It's the best
it's really
movie.
Good.
It's incredible.
And,
it is the best movie.
It is
my
honestly,
favorite.
Right?
Yes.
And I love aliens. And I go to bed with my little tinfoil hat on and I watch all the History Channel shows that start playing after 10 p.m. And I'm really excited to talk about aliens. So that's pretty exciting because today we are going to be talking about aliens. And we're also going to be talking about Mars and gravity and black holes, wormholes, every hole.
No.
We're going to be talking about all of
Trevor, not on this channel.
We're going to be talking about space movies like Interstellar, Project Hail Mary. Are they accurate? The Martian, Matt Damon, did he really go up there?
No, he sailed across the Aegean Sea.
Oh, yes. I see. Well, we're going to be talking about that.
I liked it.
And so much more. So buckle up, everyone.
Okay, all right. Let's get to these questions.
Yeah.
I'll kick it off here. Dr. Dakota Tyler. What does it mean to get your PhD on alien life, and what does your day-to-day research look like?
So my PhD specifically is in the atmospheres of other planets.
Okay.
So it's related, right? Because if you're thinking about life somewhere else, you got to understand the atmosphere on that planet first, if they need an atmosphere, for example. But to do a lot of my work, I use these giant telescopes that are on the top of this dormant volcano in Hawaii, these like enormous 10-meter telescopes, like as big as this room. And just in the middle of the night, you stare out, you find the planet that you want to search for, and I just collect a bunch of data, then, you know, go through and analyze it, and then talk about it in a fun way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you're up on this volcano all the time?
I've been up there once. It's hard to breathe. You're like above half the oxygen.
Why something. Would you put it by a volcano?
Well, it's dormant.
Okay.
So... As long as it doesn't get active.
Get his ass.
As long as it doesn't get active.
Okay.
It's
okay.
Like
what
a
if
storm.
It did get active?
Could you put it somewhere else though where there isn't a volcano?
We talk about volcanoes for now.
Well, the problem is you want to get high above the atmosphere.
Oh.
And like what's high above the atmosphere?
Volcano.
Tall mountains or dormant volcanoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about like buildings?
There's no building that tall.
Okay, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're so right. I tried.
That was good.
But I mean, like, in theory, you could just build a tall-ass building.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of, when you say, like, data collection, I guess, like, what kind of things are you able to collect just looking at a planet through a telescope?
As an astronomer, it's all light. Like, that's it. That's the only thing that we can collect is the light, basically, that's coming from other stars. So something is happening, light, you know, hundreds of trillions of miles away. And we can't actually see it, but the instruments are so precise that it can like pick up on the photons and the quantum mechanics of it all. And then knowing that science, knowing that math, we can like tease out what's going on.
And we keep seeing more things because the universe is quote unquote expanding?
The universe is expanding.
How do you know that?
Not even quote unquote, it's like literally expanding.
How do you guys know? How do you measure that?
So you can see it because when you look at the most distant galaxies, they are getting what's called redshifted. So, you know, you imagine, this is good news for
yes!
Football.
Yes! Yes!
Football!
Yes!
All right, so we're here, and on this corner is some galaxy. So that light is like traveling to us, right? But if the universe is expanding, as it's traveling to us, the light gets stretched, which makes it look red. We call it redshift. It makes it actually look redder. And we see that for all of the most distant galaxies. They get more and more red the further they are away. Basically, that means that the further they are, the faster they're moving away from us, which is what you would call expanding.
things are moving farther from us because the in-between is getting bigger?
Exactly. The space is growing.
Why?
Good question.
But what about here?
No. It's happening faster. It's called dark energy. And we don't know exactly why that is. But it's expanding from jump because the Big Bang happened. It just started for some reason. Started expanding. Yeah.
Okay.
In the front.
Thank you. Okay, so if the whole thing is expanding, could we, in this space, in this universe, like, could we be expanding too? Like, this...
Well, I know my waist is expanding, honey. I need to lay off.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So what's really expanding is the empty space in between stuff.
Oh, there's so much empty space between us.
Yeah.
And you're saying, like, the empty space is so vast, like, the space between, like, Earth and Mars is nothing compared to the space that you're probably talking about, right?
Right. It's, like, not enough to overcome the gravity of the sun, for
yeah.
example. But when you start to get, like, in between galaxies, there really is no gravity, and that space can expand. And there's just so much space that even a tiny amount of expansion results in the universe, like, expanding at the furthest places.
So our galaxy is getting farther away from other galaxies. Does that mean that the planets that we would want to go to are getting farther away?
Not the planets, because most of the planets that we would even want to go to are in our galaxy.
Okay.
Yeah. But if we wanted to go to planets in another galaxy, then yeah, it's like they're already too far to get to.
Okay.
Yeah.
But with the expansion, you're like, it's like trying to climb up a waterfall or something.
Can I ask, because you talk about going to your telescope and being like, we're going to go to look at this planet. How are these planets found? Because they're, I would imagine a planet is so small compared to everything else. How does anyone find that in the first place?
There's a few ways to find a planet, but the most straightforward and successful way so far is by basically just taking a specialized telescope, staring at like tens of thousands of stars, and then waiting to see some of them periodically dim a little bit.
Oh.
And if you see it dim like every 10 days, then you'll be like, maybe there's a planet that's on a 10-day orbit.
Oh.
And when it comes in front of us, the star looks dimmer. So we don't even actually see the planet. We just see the star getting dimmer, and then we infer that there's a 10-day orbit planet on it.
Okay. We're seeing shadows.
We're seeing the shadow, exactly.
Dr. Tyler, you are interested in aliens and alien life. With the equipment that you use and the data that you collect, would you be able to, like, realistically, like, have clues or hints that there might be life on a planet? Or does that require completely different instruments or things?
We can try, but it's really hard because you'd have to look for the signatures of life.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if let's say that we're all alien astronomers on some far planet, and we're looking at our solar system, we're like, that's 100 light years away. Does that third planet have life on it? Mm-hmm. Maybe they would look in our atmosphere, and they would see that there's carbon dioxide, right? We breathe that out. We're living. Mm-hmm. There's nitrogen. There's like a lot of nitrogen in our bodies. Maybe there's oxygen, right? Plants breathe out oxygen. We breathe it in. So you can kind of try to use biosignatures to say that there may be life there, but there's also ways that you can get all of these things, methane, carbon dioxide, nitrogen, with no life at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, without ever being able to go there, it's difficult, you know, short of seeing like a spaceship zooming through to be like, oh, there's life.
And we're defining life as like, what?
I mean, I mean, anything, right? Like, not like even micro.
It's hard to define life, but that's what I would expect first, is that we would find somewhere that had microbes, right? That's the first thing that showed up on Earth, was microbes. It's what dominates the Earth now, honestly.
I'm a microbe.
You've got a lot in you. You have more bacteria cells in you than you have human cells in you.
In you?
We're bacteria.
Ah.
What's the closest that we can actually look at planets? Because we were talking about shadows of planets earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What is the closest we can actually observe a extraterrestrial planet?
In another solar system?
In another solar system.
So there, you can do direct imaging.
Okay.
If it's really, really, really nearby, you can try to, the problem is the stars are so bright. Mm-hmm. You know, you ever go outside and you look up at the sun and notice that it's really bright?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look at it all the time.
All the time.
So the other stars are also really bright. So It's like you can't really see the planets, but sometimes you can block out the star with something called a coronagraph. It's kind of like just a black disc. And if you block out the star and the planet is like big enough, sometimes you can take a picture of it. It's like a little pixelated thing.
Cool.
But they have to be really, really close to us.
Got it.
Because, you know, the further you get, the harder it is to see things that are small.
Hey, this episode of Smosh Asks is sponsored by ZocDoc. Summer is almost over, babes. The hot summer sun can be my favorite medicine, but summer ending means things like flu season or that annoying head cold that always seems to come for me during the holiday travel. I'm not letting them get to me this time, not even if my favorite general physician is changing practices. But finding a new doctor to get my annual vaccines and general checkups will be easier than moving on from my ex, because I have ZocDoc. ZocDoc lets you search and compare local in-network doctors to find the best situation that works for you. Want to know what the tea is on your local dentist's bedside manner? You can check out real reviews from real patients to save yourself the headache of another bad experience. ZocDoc has more than 150,000 providers within 200 specialties across all 50 states. Your health matters, and taking care of yourself shouldn't be complicated. Find and book the right doctor with ZocDoc. Head to ZocDoc.com/smoshass to get started and check that appointment off your to-do list. That's ZocDoc.com/smoshasks. Now, back to the show.
Okay, I have a question, and then we go back to the alien stuff. I'm really fascinated with astrology. You were saying in the beginning, like, astronomers and astrologers were like they were the same in the beginning.
Yeah. The first astronomers in like the field of astronomy as we think about it now were astrologers. Like, that was the thing that existed at the time.
How are they able to like figure out my life pattern in the sky?
I don't know. I don't think I.
Because I don't know.
Okay, so here's how it would start, right?
Okay.
You look in the night sky and you notice that there's something happening. There, like, are patterns happening, right? Like, let's say we're all hunter-gatherers and we need to track, like, deer migration or crop yields. And it's like, well, you notice during different parts of the year, the stars actually look different. So it's kind of like a calendar. It's like you can tell, like, oh, summer's coming to an end. Fall is coming to an end. Let's harvest these crops. Mm-hmm. And you just start to realize that you can read into the patterns of the stars. And if I had to guess, I would say that people just kind of extrapolate and maybe like they would read into something that happened in their life with an event that happened in the sky.
Cool.
But you know, as astronomy got more and more developed, that sort of like the astrology and horoscope thing becomes less of a scientific evidence-based thing. So then you have like astronomy and astrology separate.
Interesting.
How many places in space that we know of can hold life? And is there a planet that you believe has life?
I would say, as like from my scientific opinion, we know of one place. And it's just this one.
Okay. Mm.
If we're saying, you know, this may not be true, but if we're saying that what the Earth is what is required for life, we have never found a planet that is like the Earth.
It's
like we've found planets that are like similar in size, but we've never like demonstrated that, oh, this is an Earth-like planet with the same size and the same mass and the same atmosphere. Like we've just never found anything like that. Not that it doesn't exist, right? Because we haven't found everything.
So like, but what if there was a planet that developed life through different elements than we're made of? So if we're carbon-based life forms, what if there was like a nitrogen-based life form? How would we even be able to—
That's a good question.
—search for it? Like we would be looking for the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What if the life is just different? What if it doesn't need oxygen or it doesn't put out carbon dioxide? And then we're kind of like hand-tied.
Like Transformers. That's the whole idea. They can't tell.
Because they're made of cars.
They're indistinguishable from technology. Mm. It's like, oh shit, that we weren't even thinking that was an alien because it looks like a car.
Can I ask, is that a leading like theory for science? Like, does the scientific community believe, like, oh, it's possible? Like, obviously, you have no proof, but do a lot of scientists believe, like, oh, I think life could exist without our setup here on Earth?
I think that water is so common. Water is, like, everywhere. There's water on the moon. There's water on Mars, water on Mercury, water on Earth.
It's the same water?
It's the same. It's H2O.
It's H2O.
Yeah. Now it's like not liquid in a lot of those other places that I said. It's frozen.
Oh.
Right. It's propel like, up on the moon.
Electrolyte.
Yeah. Yeah, way more electrolyte.
But yeah, I want some.
But like water is so common. Carbon. We're carbon based. Carbon is like top five most common elements in the universe. So you almost don't have to say that it's going to be made of something else. Because the stuff that our life is made of is literally like the most common stuff that exists. So it does make sense to go looking for what we're familiar with just because what we're made of is very common. It's like all over the place.
Okay, so it's just our mix of the things that we're made up of that made us wait.
What is it about Earth that—
It's so common everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're made of the same thing that's so common everywhere?
Exactly.
Whoa.
Maybe you just need like the right conditions for stuff to mix in exactly the right way.
Huh. Okay, going back to Interstellar, because I've seen it so many times. You know how they like, he's like in a library of like the different dimensions?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that accurate? Like what if like...
Does that happen?
Does that happen where he's like doing Morse code? Murph! Okay.
Don't leave! Yeah.
So... Like, what if there's just another dimension? There's so many dimensions that we're just, like, not tapped into. And, like, we're just made out of different, like, elements in these dimensions, but we can't, like, see them because we're not in them.
That's a good question. Like, we have three dimensions and then time. Like, what would a fourth dimension or a fifth dimension even mean or be?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's, like, one of the questions that kind of feels like it's just outside of what we can do scientific experiments on.
Yeah.
What is the most accurate space movie?
I feel like Gravity is kind of accurate.
Oh.
The Martian, they all try to be accurate, but, you know, at one point, doesn't on The Martian, he, like, leaves on a Corvette or something? Doesn't he, like, leave on a convertible? He, like, leaves the...
Oh, yeah, he takes, like, all the windows and chairs and stuff out of, like, the hob to, like, make it light so that he can launch himself into space.
Yeah, like, that doesn't feel super realistic to me. He also makes...
But it is Matt Damon. So like,
but Matt Damon can just do that.
He's got he does have a lot of charisma, which I didn't really take into account. But he also like grew food with his own poop though, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Oh,
you never done that?
Chance does that.
Have you?
No.
What do you eat?
His own poop.
What do you think would be considered like undeniable evidence of life on another planet? Like if we saw something up there that we'd be like, other than, you know, a spaceship flying around in the sky and going, hey guys, we're up here.
That is a great question. I don't know if you can get it because there's no signal that we can see that you can say 100% oxygen has to be related to life. Like short of building a telescope the size of the orbit of the Earth around the sun, we can't see onto the surface of planets. Mm. If we could though, I mean, you could get proof that way.
Yeah.
You could like literally zoom into the, like a square meter on a planet. But I think it's very hard short of like being able to interact with it and see it and study it under
there's
a
not
microscope.
Like you couldn't see like some type of light or signal coming off of a planet that you would be like, oh, there's got to be something there.
Mm.
Technosignatures you could see. So, you know, if there was like some weird unnatural signal that was coming from it that seemed like a radio transmission or they talk about Dyson spheres, like these huge, enormous kind of solar panels that may orbit a star or be out in space.
Whoa.
Okay. And like that would be unnatural.
Yeah.
And maybe they're like harvesting the solar power of their star.
Okay.
So you could say that probably was created by something.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Whoa. Yeah. Created by what?
That's a good question.
Or by when?
By who?
I feel like other proof is like, what if we accidentally, like if they had really strong Wi-Fi and we accidentally connected to it, you know? And it's just like, it's like other planet. And you're like, oh shit, that's them.
No, I think like maybe like one day AT&T will just be out there in the universe, in the galaxies.
You feel like you have good signal with AT&T?
I don't think it's gonna be them. No, I do think it's gonna be AT&T.
Can I ask, what is it? Do you know what it is that SETI and all of those, like, what is it that they're trying to send out to, like, aren't there signals that we are trying to send out from Earth to, like, hope that it somehow hits another planet or anything?
Oh.
We've done it a few times, but I think what SETI does a lot of is listening
okay.
for those coming from other places.
Got it.
So they have these like huge radio telescopes that are really like listening. And it's almost, I mean, it's literally like looking for a drop of water in the ocean, because you have to look at the exact right place in the whole universe
at the exact right time.
And it's like, what are the odds that you're going to guess correctly?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very low, but not impossible.
Okay, so if we find a planet that has like complex life, what would be the next step? Like, what would or should we do?
That is sounds like an ethics question, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel all the people of Earth should be able to weigh in on a question like that. Mm. Like, what is, who speaks for the, I mean, say the aliens show up, who speaks for us?
I think we know.
Matt Damon.
Yeah. Matt Damon, actually.
That was Amy right Adams. There. The Arrival.
Oh, nice. She's seen another alien movie, folks.
Arrival was good, too.
It was
Arrival
really good.
Was so
one of my
cool.
favorite movies.
Language.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good question. Like, I don't...
Would you audition for it?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. I'll vote for you.
Yeah, like, I don't know who we should trust to speak for us, but I would say that I'm a good candidate.
I think you're a good candidate.
You're a good candidate, too. So they show up and they're like, we love college football.
Yeah.
Oh, we got just the guy.
Obviously, we don't have the technology or the means like to do like long distance, like human space travel. But what is like the reasonable like distance that we could send an object? Like if we did find life on a planet, like could we send a probe out and expect it to get somewhere pretty far away?
There is this really cool theoretical project called Starshot. And basically, you know, you think the closest star to us is called Proxima Centauri. It's about 4 light years away. And there is a planet that we know is like an Earth-sized planet there. We don't know what the surface is like or anything, but you could take like a tiny little super condensed digital camera or computer or something like that, and you could strap it to this enormous sail, like just a very, very thin metal sail that you could point lasers at and like blast and use the momentum from the lasers to speed this thing up to like a considerable fraction of the speed of light. And you could get it to that star system to take images or whatever it wouldn't take thousands of years, maybe something like hundreds of years. It kind of depends on how fast you can get it to go.
Oh man, that's okay. Such a bummer.
Well, for us, we wouldn't get those results unless you can get it to go really, really fast.
Well, I'm pretty young, so.
Yeah. I mean, if we could get it there in 20 years, then it's like 20 years to get there, take a picture, send it back, 4 years to get back. You could see that by the time you were 50.
It's pretty cool.
Speaking of youth. Mm-hmm. Is cryogenic freezing actually a thing we could get to?
I personally don't think so. It's a little bit out of my field, but what I understand about biology, it's like, you know, people who want to do that are grasping at straws. I just don't understand how you could freeze the body and then maintain all of the things that need to be maintained. It doesn't seem realistic based on what I know. It's a cool idea, but also the people who have like frozen themselves, do we want to bring them back?
Yeah. Mm. I don't know.
Who froze themselves?
Well, it's Walt Disney did.
Yeah.
He's still in a freezer?
Allegedly. I think
his head is.
It's like in the rumor mill.
Yeah.
Oh, just the head.
It's only like billionaires who are freezing themselves, so we probably should just leave them frozen. Yeah.
So like the, in your opinion, if we did want to have like longer distance space travel with humans, the solution is how to make something go faster, not how to make our bodies last longer.
I mean, you may want to do both.
Yeah.
How do you feel about having your consciousness uploaded to a cloud?
That scares the shit out of me.
I agree.
But I don't want to be stuck in a, I don't.
You could preserve yourself that way.
Whenever those types of things come up, I am of the camp of like, you know what? I'm meant to die. Like I'm meant to not be around forever. I don't want to, like that's scary. Cause that opens up immortal, but also like, infinite unknown of torture. You know what I mean?
Like there was a Korean movie I watched where you could upload yourself, your consciousness, but there were like a company ran it and there were levels of consciousness, like of what you were able to do and what you were able to upload.
Yeah.
Like the episode in,
kind of like that, how she keeps going alive in Black Mirror.
Oh, the Netflix subscription one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Where she was like saying ads out loud. And gosh. Because they couldn't afford the subscription.
Yeah. Yeah, it's dark.
That's tough.
Well, I mean, our next question I feel like fits into a little bit of what we're talking about of how long would it take us to actually reach another galaxy? But it sounds like in order to reach another galaxy, we'd have to go on like a long journey and just be for generations moving our way to another galaxy.
Yeah.
Seems
wow.
Like.
Based on, you know, the technology that we can think of now.
Yeah.
It would have to be like this multi-generational thing where your great-great-great-grandkids are on this journey that they've been on for thousands of years.
Yeah, but that's what happened with us. We're on the journey that people were on.
That's true.
You know, we're just on a rock instead of a spaceship. It's the same thing.
It's like Xenon.
It's not the exact same
thing.
It seems a little bit different.
Yeah, just in size. Like if you were born like 2,000 years ago, it's like you're not going to know many people outside your fucking village.
Yeah.
Like, and a spaceship could hold a lot more people than a village.
Yeah.
And be way nicer. You got air conditioning on there, probably.
I wouldn't think that...
Filtered water.
I wouldn't think the human psyche could handle that. Because, like, we evolved to be on Earth and, like, be out in nature and have, like, some sort of freedom.
They won't know the difference.
Wait, I've got an idea. We've been going about the problem all wrong. What if we build a bunch of really big rockets and then just put them on one side of the planet... And then push the whole planet
out of our orbit.
You're
orbit.
Crazy.
Wait, we shouldn't be out of orbit. No.
We push the planet.
We die. It's good. Good.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
Oh,
no,
we shouldn't be out of orbit. I didn't even think about that.
We get cold.
So what about the wormholes? Are there portals somewhere that we can just go through?
Portals.
Because that was Interstellar, right?
There were no portals.
Yes, they found a portal.
No, they didn't.
Whoa. I think so.
I thought they did.
Did you watch Interstellar?
Have you seen Interstellar?
That's like the coolest part of the movie.
No, he found the portal.
But someone found a portal.
There was a portal that was found.
No, but he found it while he was floating in space.
But the portal existed.
Yeah, yes, but not in... She had to listen to the Morse code.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
But the portal was from the outside, but the call was coming from inside.
Yeah.
So, doctor, are there portals?
Wormholes are totally theoretical. So it's kind of like the math that we do to understand relativity, the math allows them technically, but that doesn't mean that they actually exist. And we've never found one. But, you know, some people think that maybe there are wormholes like at the center of a black hole. Where space and time get super extreme and weird. But I don't think, like, we don't know how to create one. It would take so much energy that we just, like, don't have the ability.
Okay, doctor. What are black holes?
What do you think black holes are?
I only have the knowledge of Interstellar, so I'm not gonna answer that.
Okay. A black hole is anything that is so dense that the gravity to escape it or the escape velocity, like the speed you have to go to escape it, gets higher than the speed of light. So like you've seen like the rocket, you saw the Artemis II, like the rocket leave Earth?
Yes.
So cool. I know. Did you cry?
Yes, when he named.
Oh, the crater?
The crater after his wife.
Very touching. So there's some speed that you can go to leave any planet. It's called the escape velocity.
Okay.
And it's like the more gravity the planet has, the higher the speed is that you have to go. Well, you could have let's imagine it's a planet. You could have a planet that had so much gravity that the speed to leave it was faster than the speed of light. So nothing can leave it because nothing can go that fast.
Right.
So like if you even tried to, you would immediately continue going to the center of it.
Uh-huh.
And that's really all it is. It's like an object that has so much gravity that nothing has enough speed to escape it.
Where is it going?
To the center of the black hole.
How does that look like?
I don't know. Nobody's ever been there.
But then how do they know about it?
Well, we can actually see black holes. Well, they're black. You can't really see them. But we've got images of black holes and like how they affect stars around them. There's like no rule that you can't have something with so much gravity that light can't escape it. So if they were predicted and then we found them, there's like tons of evidence for them. But we don't know what happens like at the center. I don't think anybody really knows. People have ideas. I like the idea that this is the coolest theory to me.
Okay.
Is that at the center of a black hole, the space and time get just like so distorted and so warped that it leads to a new universe. And like that's how you create universes, is at the center of giant black holes.
Is that to basically, I'm gonna make a crazy leap in my head. Is that to basically say like the Big Bang was coming from a black hole in another universe?
If you believe this, you know, this hypothesis, mm-hmm. which hasn't been proven or anything
sure.
then yeah, you know, we can tell the universe is expanding. We know that it used to be small, hot, and dense, but we don't really know like what started that process. And in this framework, that would have been like something about a black hole in another universe, like created this new space-time that produced our universe. And then all the black holes that we have maybe also have their own little unique space-times mm. that have black holes too, that have their own ones. So it's like the infinite rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that would effectively be like different dimensions in a way. Or would it all still be kind of, this is all one universe just in within one another?
I guess it depends on how you look at it.
Yeah.
Are they separate universes or are they like subset universes inside of larger universes? Yeah.
Or like if you keep going in enough, it starts going out again, like loop back.
We are so small.
We're definitely small.
Or so big.
And so there's probably no way to ever really observe black holes because of how insane they are.
Even if you could pull up on one and shoot a satellite in there,
just
pull up on it, shoot a satellite in, the satellite couldn't transmit any information back to you.
Yeah.
Because it's trying to, but it doesn't travel fast enough, so it goes to the center of the black hole.
Unless it was like quantumly entangled with you.
Except you can't transmit information using quantum entanglement.
Why?
Because to you, it always looks random when you check.
Okay.
What's quantum entanglement?
Quantum entanglement's pretty cool.
Like, if we were quantumly entangled and across the universe, and I, like, touch my heart, you could, like, feel it. No, but, like, for real.
Well, I didn't learn that in my quantum.
That's what they said.
No, I saw this on TikTok. I've seen this on TikTok. It's like the not the invisible string theory.
Okay.
Almost.
I don't know.
It's like you feel it.
Are you talking about the twin flame thing?
I think
they're doing a different thing.
It's the entanglement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is it in the class?
In the class, I'm still.
It's really less fun.
Oh.
But in a quantum system, there are like these rules that quantum mechanics obeys by, and let's say you had two particles. And then they could either be in state one or state two, but you could never have them both in the same state. So they could never both be one and they could never both be two. So that means if you check one of them and it's in one, then you know automatically that the other one's in two. And that's really like the extent of what quantum entanglement is. So if you shot something in there and you checked yours and it was two, I mean, that would tell you that the other one was one, but you wouldn't know that there was like any information there.
You just have to trust.
But you wouldn't have, it's like completely random.
It's completely random, but it's like this, it's doing the same thing.
Binary?
Okay, so let me put it like this.
Oh.
Let's say that you two have a quantum entangled particle on opposite sides of the universe.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Now, let's say that you were trying to communicate something. Let's say that you were. How would you know that you were getting meaningful information or just random information? Because every time you check, it's going to be in some state.
Oh.
But you're
it
not
would
gonna,
be us communicating, but it's just not. We just don't know if it's relevant information.
Because it always looks random to both of you.
Oh.
Because the state has to be in one or the other. It seems like you can use it to communicate, but you really can't.
I was going
to
ask, on the topic of black holes, I feel like I heard once, though, when it comes to black holes, with how extreme the conditions are in gravity and time, is it possible that our rules... All the rules that we know in the universe are kind of could be gone or different inside of a black hole. Like,
if we say that the laws of physics are like the way things work in our universe, and for example, at the center of a black hole, you kind of are like separated from our universe and are somewhere else or something else. Not saying that I don't know if that, you know, that's true or not. Then it's like, what are the laws of physics in another universe? We have actually no idea. And I don't even think there is a way to know that.
Yeah.
That's something I've always thought about in these, like the MCU movies where you step through portals and you're like in another universe. Mm-hmm. But like, what if the way that protons acted in that universe was different? You just like walk through and then your body would disintegrate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that never happens.
No. Mm-hmm.
I guess the movie wouldn't be as good, but
yeah,
it would be like a cool short film, I think.
Yeah. There's sometimes when they like turn into cartoons and shit. Or like
the Spider-Man one, when they like merge
the
comic.
Yeah, there's like a Lego world.
Yeah.
Except if I were me and I went to the Lego world, I'd still be me. Why would I be made of Legos?
Yeah, it doesn't really make a lot of sense if you think about it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. We're like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
So many movies.
Yeah.
Speaking of like black holes and gravity, like how does gravity affect time? Because there's in Interstellar when they're on the planet and the gravity and it's like a second here, you know, 1 second passes here and so much more time passes somewhere else. How does that work? Is that real? Like if I was near a black hole, would time for me be passing slower or?
It would,
yeah.
Compared to somebody who wasn't there.
Yeah.
So to you, it would still feel like 1 second is 1 second.
Okay.
But it's only when you compared your 1 second to the 1 seconds back on Earth, which is why Murph was super old at the end and Cooper was still really young.
Yeah.
But that is exactly how it happens. In fact, I don't know if y'all use GPS, but I cannot get anywhere without my GPS.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
I couldn't get anywhere. So, you know, there are these GPS satellites and they're zooming around, but they're further away from the surface of the Earth. So they're technically experiencing like less gravity out at where they are. Mm-hmm. So time actually runs different for the satellite and for us on Earth. And they have to account for that.
Wait,
when
is
you're
it
getting
slower
your directions.
Or faster for the satellite?
So if you're out of the gravitational well, then it's faster. So for us, we're experiencing like a tiny, 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 tiny fraction.
So this is why I'm late?
Time slower. Well, they account for it.
I still don't understand. What are you talking about?
Gravity affects time.
How?
That's a good question.
I mean, I bet the way that I think about it is that it stretches it. It stretches the space, it stretches time. And what that feels like to us, like what that experience is that time is running more slowly when you're close to a really massive object, like a black hole or a planet or even a star.
Are there machines that replicate gravity?
No, we don't have any. Well, it depends on what you mean.
Well, like what? Okay, microwave, light, sound waves, radio waves. Why can I have a gravity ray? A gravity wave?
Gravity wave?
To make a gravity waves are real things, by the way. This is a good question. We have detectors that can detect them, but they're only able to be produced by these like enormous events, like two black holes that orbit each other and then slam into each other. And we have detectors that can detect those gravity waves. But you have to think about, we're talking about a black hole, right?
Uh-huh.
So it's not like we can make a instrument that has the just pure raw energy and mass of two black holes that are slamming into each other.
Okay, so we can't make gravity. So can we affect time a different way? I'm thinking if we can make, okay.
The way that you can affect at least how time passes for you is by moving really fast. So like if you are moving close to the speed of light, you're gonna experience time that is slow, way slower than me on Earth, for example.
Okay, like this morning, I was in New York at 4 a.m. and then I got here, it was 9 a.m. That kind of felt like time travel.
In a time zone-y way, but were you moving like at the speed of light?
No.
So
no, she was flying Spirit.
But I will say this.
I was just flying United.
Flying Spirit. Didn't they go out of business?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. It's going too fast.
Because you were so high, time was moving more slowly for you. But again, it's like a tiny, 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 tiny fraction of a second.
I have a question, okay, about the black hole. What does it sound like in there?
If I had to guess, I would say nothing.
Really? Just nothingness?
Because everything that's falling into the black hole is like going to the center.
Then why is it so damn loud in the movies? Every time they go to a black hole,
it's like very loud.
Yeah. And there's like lights everywhere.
Well, there's not even, it's always like that in space movies, but there's no sound in space.
There's no sound in space.
Because there's no stuff
out
there.
Why the hell is it so loud?
I think it's just
sound in space.
Nah, but you know, Nolan is known for having movies that are too loud.
Yeah.
It's like a meme.
Yeah.
That you like come out concussed, like flash banged.
Yeah.
It is true. If we were to create something like, for instance, that could, in a contained way, move close to the speed of light, it would then, would that allow someone to, and someone could step into it, would that allow them to travel into the future? Or what, how, like?
Basically, right? Mm-hmm. If you zoom off really, really, really fast and we just go about our days or whatever, and then you turn around and you come back, time will have been passing more slowly for you. Mm-hmm. So you would step out and be in the future. Like maybe we'd all be dead.
Whoa. But there's theoretically then no way to go back in time.
Exactly.
Interesting.
How like severe are these like time dilations when you get further from the Earth? Like if I was 200 feet up like in the sky, like there would be no reasonable like actual amount. You'd have to be a lot further.
You'd have to be incredibly far away And even then, you know, the gravity on the Earth is not that extreme. So the difference is tiny. I mean, I forget what the exact difference is for the GPS satellites, but it's not anywhere near even a second. Like it's tiny, tiny microseconds, maybe nanoseconds or something like that.
So then if you did find somewhere in the atmosphere, like in the Earth, that there was more of a time dilation, could that be evidence of like a wormhole or something else that was like, and I'm asking this because I don't know if you're familiar with Skinwalker Ranch. It's this place in Utah, and let me get a little tinfoil hattie here for a second, but there's this guy, Dr. Travis, I believe his name's Dr. Travis Taylor, and he is an astrophysicist, and he is like funded to go and study this place where there's just like a lot of weird stuff happens. And they did this experiment. Essentially, there's this one part on the ranch that they call like the triangle, and it's this big space kind of like 200 feet in the sky up above like this part of the ranch. Mm-hmm. And they just do a bunch of experiments there and collect data, and they found like a 0.2 second like time anomaly within this 200 foot zone above the ranch. And they're like, we have no clue what it is.
Yeah.
And that's, so that's why I'm asking.
Yeah, that's really cool. So I'm not really familiar with that specifically, but if there was anti-gravity or wormhole, if there was like some strange space-time disturbance, which is like what we're talking about when we're talking about wormholes and like faster than light travel, or you know, people talk about UFOs maybe that have anti-gravity ability or something. The evidence that you would look for is strange gravity or time anomalies like that. So if they, I mean, like I said, I'm not familiar with this guy and this research specifically, but if they really have a thing and they write it up and publish it, then that'll be like an insane thing. And that is exactly the type of evidence that I feel like I would need to believe something like that. Like, oh, we actually have a weird anomaly right here for some reason.
The show is crazy. I'm not a scientist, so like you probably see it through like so much of a different lens, but the stuff that they're seeing and capturing on camera and the data that they're collecting, it seems to be insane. And like there are aliens in Utah. But I don't know. You should give it
a
watch.
I'd
be curious to hear your thoughts.
I'll check it out. Do y'all think aliens are here?
Yes.
No. You think they're like here on Earth?
Not for me.
No, I do believe, based on the explanations of like how vast the universe is, that the odds of us being the only like life, complex life, seems so ridiculous. I don't believe that there are aliens on Earth or even in contact or with close enough to contact with us. Like I want to believe that it'd be so cool, but no.
Why do you think so?
just a feeling.
You
just
feel like they're like amongst.
Feels right.
Just fun.
Yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you thought that. Mm-hmm. Like they're just when we're.
I don't know, y'all. Go out on the street. look at people. They're bad at hiding it a lot of time. I'm like, that is not a human being. I'm sorry. It's so very obvious to me.
I mean, that is a compelling argument.
It's like,
publish that.
Are you doing? I will.
What do you mean? Because they're bad drivers?
Oh.
Is that the weirdest thing about LA?
He's driving in LA traffic. That guy cannot be
an alien. Traveled all across the galaxy and then is a bad driver.
Yeah. I thought we were joking.
I don't know. But I think, I think they're definitely here.
Wait, Olivia, you
don't? I think they've been like breeding with us.
See, this is...
Damn. Definitely. All right, all in.
Do you think there's any aliens in this building?
Girl. I don't know.
What? Like, I'm definitely not one. I just wanted...
I didn't think you were.
Wait, that is something an alien does say.
I'm not one of the aliens here.
Okay?
I don't know. I'm switching my answer
now. I don't know.
I'm not.
I believe you.
So do you think some people here are?
No. I'm scared.
You said that like you had a gun to your head.
Wait, Trevor, did you answer?
Not a laser gun, maybe.
Did you answer that if you believe in aliens or not? That they're here.
Do I believe that they're here? I think that at some point in time, if there are... I think. I don't think that they're here like walking among us, but I think that aliens at some point or another have interacted with this planet. I think that intelligent life from somewhere else either knows that we exist or have been here.
I believe that. I don't think they're... you know, working, doing stuff.
I saw some weird art in Albuquerque, too, that really messed with. I was just in Albuquerque, and they have, a lot of alien Native American shit going on. And I saw a lot of the Native American art was, embracing the alien of it all. And a couple of them were, the ones that I saw, I went to Old Town, which is, it's in Albuquerque, and it's a lot of, older shops run by Native American people. And a lot of their art was, showing the story of, green people coming and green people in Native American clothes and skin. And then, through there, you could see it was green underneath. And the other people were, skeletons underneath. A lot of this art showing that they are alien, but they look like us, but they're, alien. And I thought it really stuck with me. I was like, ooh. It's an interesting story to tell.
I mean, people are definitely creative. So it's I never know if it's indigenous people or mythologies from the past. It an interpretation of trying to understanding spiritualism and that sort of thing? Or is it an actual accounting of things that happen?
I love that too.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think I agree with you that for sure, I would bet that there's definitely intelligent life out there. But just because of how far away things are, it seems very unlikely that it would have come and visited us. However, with that being said, and to both of your point about maybe at some point they interacted, if you ask most people, I think that if you assume humans exist for 500 million years, what will our society look like? Who knows? 500 million years ago on Earth, I don't even think there was animals on land. Zoom 500 million years in the future and people are walking on the moon. So it's in 500 million years, what technology will we have? Would we be able to go to other places and visit other places? Yeah. Maybe. And so it's not out of the realm of plausibility to think that some other civilization that had a head start on us
would also
develop that. But there's no evidence for it that I've seen where I'm that's what's going on here.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But I will change my mind at the drop of that evidence.
I'd also like to posit the idea that looking for the wrong things and the wrong ways of looking at life, what if it were a life, even they could be here, but we can't detect them in the way that we would detect them, a la, speaking of realms, spirit realm, how could we differentiate that from alien life? Speaking of, I'm the movie guy, in Avatar, there's these portals that go to this different thing where there's also intelligent life that is now spirit realm. And the same idea that that's an alien species that developed differently than us and now we're calling them spirits. How's that? What's that idea do to you?
What was the question?
So what's that?
Really a question.
The question is, what's that about?
What if the spirit realm is aliens? That's the question.
So
what's all the spirits?
No, I understand. What you're saying.
Does that make sense?
I think just in general, the idea that an earlier, less advanced civilization version of humans could have seen things or experienced things that they interpreted to be at that time.
Yeah.
Spirits or something else that us in today's day and age, we would see that and be like, oh, that's aliens.
Yeah.
And we only have whatever records, manuscripts, whatever, hieroglyphs, paintings, anything,
songs.
Ancient artifacts, songs that we see, oh, these people believed in these spirits, but maybe that was something that they actually saw then that were aliens and that's how they interpreted them and they're no longer here.
You talked about particles earlier. What different type of particles are there? What is a particle?
A particle is this discrete unit of energy, momentum, charge, just some properties.
Okay.
And when we see those in little, discrete units, we call these different particles. A proton has different properties than a neutron, than an electron, than a neutrino. And the way that you really think about them and the most modern quantum mechanical way is that there are these things called quantum fields everywhere. And just imagine these bands of, a field, maybe an infinite number of strings that are moving everywhere. And when they get vibrated and excited in a certain way, it produces a particle. So a beam of light that's going through this room right now to a quantum field theorist is an excitation in the electromagnetic quantum field that's just everywhere. Whoa. And it's producing photons, like countless photons.
When you say vibrated, you mean like literally moving differently?
I think maybe excited is a better word, but like you could imagine a band that's just stretched but isn't moving. And then if you excite it a little bit, there's motion. And
I feel like exciting it.
It depends. It kind of depends on what's going on. I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a who doing it, but just like stuff that happens in the universe. Like inside the center of the sun, there's all this matter that's like fusing together and it's like causing these disturbances in the electromagnetic field, which is causing photons to like race out.
Wait, what? So a proton is a particle is what?
A proton is three quarks. And they come together and make something called a proton.
But it's like neutrino.
There's many particles in this thing called the standard model of like how we understand particles. And digging into it by name, I feel like it would just be confusing.
Okay.
But you can think of this, we have like this great theoretical equation that predicts other particles. And then we go and look for them in like the Large Hadron Collider. And then we find them. And so that tells us that at least our understanding of particle physics is pretty accurate.
Oh, like the God particle.
Exactly, the Higgs particle.
Yes.
So that was predicted before we knew about it.
In the 60s, right?
It was predicted by the math, and then they built this thing, this particle collider.
CERN.
Yep, at CERN, which is like the overall research group, and they found it in this particle collider. So I mean, that means that the theory is really good, right? If you can just by the math predict that if you slam some protons together, this new particle nobody's seen before will emerge. Mm-hmm. And we actually were able to detect that, which is really cool. So the particles are just kind of like the fundamental things that make up the universe.
Okay.
They go like way deeper than what you and I have to understand when we're like going through our day to day.
Do scientists theorize that there are many more particles that they haven't like figured out the math for or observed or anything? Or do we believe, like, these are the particles?
So the question you just asked is, like, at the forefront of physics research. The standard model, I think, has all the particles accounted for.
Okay.
However, there are some things that we don't really know about, like dark matter.
Yeah.
Is there a particle associated with it? Mm. There isn't one that is, like, obvious from this standard model of physics. So if there is some mystery particle, maybe we're missing something. There's something called a graviton. You know, particle people may say that gravity actually has an associated particle called a graviton. We haven't ever found anything like that. So I feel like there may still be particles that we haven't found, but our best understanding is not predicting them, or like not making it obvious that there's like another God particle, like you said, to find.
What's the leading theory on dark matter?
A lot of them are certain types of particles.
So dark matter is like the upside down or what?
It's a good question. It's like, it's this weird stuff that interacts gravitationally, but it doesn't like collapse into dark matter planets or stars. It doesn't collapse into black holes. It still interacts with stuff gravitationally. So some of the theories are that they're different particles that we just haven't detected yet. A cool one is that they're tiny primordial black holes that were formed in the beginning of the universe. Mm. I like that one. I don't think it's a favored one necessarily. And then there are also some theories that there's like some modified version of gravity that we don't really understand. It's called modified Newtonian dynamics. Well, so I think that maybe is like at the bottom. But the answer is that we don't know what it is. It could be a particle. It could be tiny black holes. It could be something else. Like we could be not on the right trail.
What is like the most beautiful, fascinating, your favorite thing about studying galaxies and space and universe?
It's definitely the number of possibilities of planets that there are. That's what first got me interested. I got injured and I couldn't play football anymore. And I started watching these astronomy documentaries and they were like, all these stars have planets. And if you just look at the planets in our solar system, they're all very different. Like none of them are the same.
What's your favorite planet?
Saturn.
Wow.
Whoa, good pick.
The rings. And it also has this cool hexagon at the one of the poles.
Yeah.
There's like this, so it's all gas, but there's this hexagon at the pole of Saturn.
What does it mean?
If you look at like a picture of the planet, it's literally just a hexagon.
Could it be cinematics?
It's like an atmospheric something.
Yeah, some sort of atmospheric effect.
The way the planet is humming, the vibrations send it into that shape. You know how like, if you put sand on a paper and you play music,
yeah,
it'll start to make shapes.
Oh.
I honestly don't know what atmospheric thing causes that.
What about the
rings are cool too.
Why?
So I think a moon got a little bit too close to it. And when you get too close to a really gravitational body, it'll like pull you apart. This is why you don't want to get too close to a black hole. It'll string you out like into a line of—
Were there black holes around Saturn?
No. You don't need a black hole to do it.
Oh.
A planet can do it to a moon, for example.
So the rings are moons?
Imagine that there was just a huge moon.
Okay.
Imagine we took our moon and our moon got a little bit too close to the Earth and then it started to like be pulled apart. And then so you could kind of think of the rings as just trillions and trillions of trillions of tiny moons. It's like smash the big moon.
And then it's like, ooh, now it's flat cookie dough. Now it's a cookie shape.
But now it's like these beautiful rings around Saturn. Cookies.
Yeah.
It's a cookie.
And they'll disappear at some point. They'll like fall into Saturn and then Saturn won't have rings. And then maybe Jupiter will like pull apart one of its other moons in 20 million years.
Cool.
And then it'll have rings.
Cool.
So the planets really fascinate you.
The planets. And here's like a stat that blows my mind. It's been estimated that there have been 100 billion humans to ever exist. Like us today, all the way in the past, 100 billion. If we say that every human lives to be 80 years old, and every human, for every second of their life, is exploring a new planet. Let's just say you could do it in 1 second. And no humans at any time repeat planets. Like your planets are not mine, are not yours, are not yours. If we did that for the entire 100 billion humans and every single second they explored a new planet, it would only be 0.25% of the planets that we estimate to exist orbiting stars alone. So that's not even including these rogue planets that we know are out there.
What are rogue planets?
There's planets that don't orbit stars.
What do they do?
They just floating
their own
through space.
Things.
They're dark.
They're dark. We can't see them because they don't orbit stars.
And that's in the universe or our galaxy?
Universe. The universe.
Dark planets.
I wanted to bring it back really quick to our solar system because we're talking about Saturn and Jupiter and everything. In our lifetime, do you believe we will see someone land on Mars? Like a person on Mars?
I don't think that'll happen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Or the next generation or even the next generation.
Why?
Oh.
There's not really a good reason to do it, especially for how hard it is. Well, like what would you do there? There's like nothing. It's dangerous. You could try to, it's not like there's valuable resources there that we don't have on Earth or that you couldn't find easier in the asteroid belt. You know, sending an astronaut to the moon is already dangerous because they kind of get far away from the Earth, which has this magnetic field that like protects us from stuff coming from all over space. But if you go to Mars, you're like outside of that thing for an enormous amount of time. And then Mars doesn't really have an atmosphere, so Mars doesn't really protect you from it either. So they did this study on rats, and they basically exposed the rat kidneys to something called extragalactic radiation. So just the stuff that you would have like beaming into your body if you go out on a trip to Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And within the amount of radiation that they would get in just a couple months, all their kidneys shut down. And so it's like, that's not even the whole trip. And that's only looking at kidneys, but we're gonna put people out there. It's like, it just seems like there's not enough that we'd get back for
it. The juice isn't worth the squeeze.
At all.
Yeah.
Like our bodies are so tailored to the Earth's atmosphere.
Without
a doubt. In ways we can't even comprehend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know why the astronauts have to work, when they're in space, they have to work out for like 3 hours a day.
Yeah.
Because if they don't, their body literally starts to atrophy.
The Artemis ones too?
Yeah, anybody. They did. They had like a little, you know, they probably had one of those little foldable gyms in there. And you have to work out for multiple hours a day to keep your body from just like atrophying. Because, right, you don't use your muscles. Your heart doesn't have to work to pump your blood because there's no, like gravity is not trying to pull it down to your legs. So everything, your eyes stop working the same way. It is. It's an environment that we're just not evolved to be in.
Whoa. So we should start raising people in space.
Whoa. Have you ever seen The Expanse?
Yeah.
Remember, there's people who were raised in the asteroid belt and they can't come on the planets.
Right, because it's too heavy.
The gravity's too strong.
That's why the Martians make good soldiers.
Yeah.
They're trudging through shit, bitch.
Yeah. So I feel like that would be bad.
Yeah. They just can't come back to Earth, but what if we don't need them to come back to Earth? Bitch, you're an explorer. Go explore.
Yeah.
He's sending people off the Earth. We got too many damn mouths to feed. No, I'm just kidding.
What's your favorite space movie? Like, what's your favorite sci-fi? Like, whatever. It could be Star Wars. It could be Project Hail Mary. It could be something that is realistic. It could be something completely out there. Do you have a favorite space movie?
Definitely. It's Interstellar.
Okay. Of course it is. It's got a beautiful story.
Yeah.
And it's accurate.
It's very cool.
It's accurate.
And the score is amazing.
The score is amazing.
And then remember at the end when she's an old lady and she goes, because my daddy told me.
Yeah. I cried multiple times in that movie every time.
When you were talking about gravity, I was thinking about that. I was almost gonna cry.
I thought I was, you know, giving a moving.
No, you were, but I was thinking about that scene, and I think about that scene all the time. Yeah.
No, it's so good.
And then he has to go and get Anne Hathaway.
Yeah,
because
I wish they would do a part two.
She's by herself, building. She's building, calling by herself.
And she did have that one robot though. She had Case, the robot. You know, the little metal robot.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God. Also, Tars is like my favorite.
One of the best characters in cinema history.
Is Tars.
Tars, easily.
Do astronauts have those cute robots?
Tars robots?
Yeah.
No. No.
Be cool if they did.
It's like a little dog.
They're getting closer.
Tars is so cute. Like, you know those like little robots that deliver food?
Oh, those robo dogs?
They're so cute too.
What? They're not terrifying to you? The little dogs with no head that run?
Oh, not the dogs.
No, no,
you're talking about the Dynamics dogs?
Yeah. We're talking about the DoorDash ones. We're talking about the DoorDash
ones. They're using them for DoorDash?
No,
they have names like Jasmine, and she's like a little robot.
Oh, they just name it? Oh, the boxes.
It's all boxes. Yeah. The rolling boxes. Yeah.
Wait, why'd you call them dogs? Or did I do that?
I did that.
You called them dogs.
Because they feel like little dogs, like pets.
I know we're on a different subject. I'm fully against robots. I'm scared of them. I've seen those robots that are in like UFC fighting now. The robots are going to know that I'm against them. They're going to kill me. I'm going to be of the wave that they're going to kill.
I don't like them either, but Tars is cute.
Tars is cool.
But you can't trust the cute robots. Like that's how they get you. Yeah. No, I'm going to be murdered by one of those Boston Dynamics dogs one day.
There's so a Black Mirror episode about that.
I know, yeah.
Terrifying.
I saw a video, unfortunately, where one has a gun now.
Did you see the Centaur one? It's terrifying. It's like a mountain rescue one.
Yes, I saw that.
He made it look like a demon. It's got four
Why are we
legs.
Doing
it's
this?
Huge.
I think that they look
carry a chainsaw.
That's crazy.
To cut down trees to save you.
That's why we're going to have to go to Mars.
Because the robots are going to take over here.
We're going to get out of here.
Yeah.
I think the robots should go to Mars.
Yeah, let's send some robots to Mars.
We have robots on Mars now.
I guess that's such a good point. That is so very.
We
you
do
know
have
what?
Robots.
We did it.
I forgot about
we
that.
Did it. We won.
Problem solved.
I forgot they've been there for like a few decades, but yeah, pretty cool. Actually, on that, we have rovers on Mars. We tried to send a rover to Venus, and I remember that got smushed pretty fast, right?
Yeah.
Why?
Why?
Because the gravity's heavy.
It's insane.
Stronger.
There.
It has so much more of an atmosphere than we do, that when they sent a probe in it, the Russians did this decades ago, and as it's falling down, it like gets crushed by the atmosphere before it even hits the ground.
Was it crushed or was it shot out of the sky?
it got some footage, on Venus?
Probably. Well, so they did it several times because they kept failing, and eventually they got one that could land on the ground, and they took pictures. So there is actually real pictures of the surface of Venus.
It looks awesome.
It looks very inhospitable.
Yeah.
But it is very cool that they could do that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I grew up in Arizona, so I feel like...
That's the same.
Pretty similar. No, yeah, that's Mars.
It is. That is a little bit closer to Mars, probably.
Are there other planets that there's possibilities of sending rovers to?
Rovers?
Any sort of like, yeah, to land on the surface or be... I know some are gas giants, but...
Yeah, not Venus, but you could... you start thinking about some of the moons of Jupiter and Saturn. Could definitely send rovers there. Saturn has this moon Titan that has an atmosphere that's kind of similar in thickness to what we have. And they have, there's liquid oceans and lakes.
Wow.
Of methane and ethane, though, so it's not H2O. And, but I feel like that would be a cool place to send something that could like, fly around.
And for all mankind, the Apple TV show, in the most recent season, spoiler alert, they found like microorganisms on Titan.
Would not surprise me if that is an actual discovery that we made one day.
On Titan.
On Titan.
Or like the great moons of Jupiter, Io, does that have... What does Io have?
I think Io, it's like, it's so volcanically active that I think it's basically sterile.
But wouldn't volcanoes lead to like, in my head, volcanoes is like, oh, organisms, things feeding off the volcanoes.
Because are you thinking of like, like the hydrothermal vents and stuff? So I think that, well, the thing is that on the surface of Io, there isn't water. It's like no atmosphere, just straight space. And then it's polluting the area with all of this like sulfuric acid and stuff coming from the volcanoes. And it actually kind of like pollutes the entire orbit around Jupiter because Jupiter has this really strong magnetic field. So it gets very populated with this crap that's coming out of Io. So I would say you need to go further out, maybe like Europa.
Oh yeah.
Not saying that it's not possible, right? Because it's like, who knows? We don't know what is impossible for life. Maybe there is like something underground that's a weird microbe or something like that. I don't think that that's like physically impossible. But if you go to Europa and Ganymede, some of the other moons of Jupiter, there seems like there's liquid oceans underneath the crust. And that seems like a little bit more interesting astrobiologically.
Liquid ocean of water?
Water, liquid H2O.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I've heard about that. So they believe there could be probably microbes or...
I mean, it depends, right? Because we don't know exactly how life started.
Yeah.
So were the conditions right a long time ago? Maybe. We have something called the Europa Clipper, which is on its way to Jupiter right now to orbit around Europa and see if there's any like interesting outgassing that's happening. Just like study it a little
bit closer.
How soon will it takes a long time to get there.
When will it get there?
I don't remember the exact dates. Maybe like 10 years from now.
Oh, that's not too bad.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I could do that.
Yeah. Sure. I don't think I'll busy.
I'll chill.
And it may be a little bit shorter, but
okay.
Yeah, it takes a long time. You know how long it took to get the probe out to Pluto?
No.
It was like 20 years.
What?
A long time, and that's in our solar system, right? So you start thinking about something that's light years away getting to another planet, and it's like you're talking about tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of years.
Don't we have a we sent something off back in the 70s that didn't it finally make its way out of the solar system?
The Voyager probe.
Yes,
they've been traveling at tens of thousands of miles per hour. Is that right? They've been traveling really fast since 70s, and it's just now getting to an area where we're like, oh, that's like kind of leaving the solar system.
Cool.
Leaving the solar system?
Yeah, and it's been traveling for decades.
What's powering it?
Nothing. Once you get something going in space, it'll just keep going.
How are we tracking it?
It can communicate with us. There's, it has like some sort of energy source, some sort of like nuclear decay thing powering the electronics on board. And so it can send signals back.
Didn't it send, isn't that famous photo of Earth from like super far away? Was it Voyager that took it?
Yeah, Voyager took one of those. The pale blue dot.
Yeah. So cool.
It's like, it's near Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this tiny little speck, a blue speck. And it's literally the Earth. And there's that Carl Sagan has this great poem relating to it. And he's kind of saying, you know, you imagine all of the like kings and queens and all of the people that were slaves and all the people that died in wars and all the people that have ever like loved and hated and everything that's happened all happens on that tiny little speck, this pale blue dot. And so, it is like very powerful.
In all of your time studying the universe and you know, planets and solar systems and stuff, what's like one thing that you've learned like, or like a lesson, I guess, that you've like, have you come to sort of any like spiritual, like kind of feeling of like, I am really small or even like, I am really big. Like there is so much out there, but like what happens here is so special. Like have you had any sort of like revelations as you've been studying this for so long now?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A normal thing to feel at first when you start hearing about like how many planets and how many stars and how big everything is to feel like small and insignificant, or maybe feel like things don't matter. I think that's normal to feel like that at first. But then you also realize that it's almost infinitely impossible that you specifically exist, right? Like your parents had to meet at the exact time that they did in like 50 million years ago, whatever ancestors you had had to like not get eaten by a jaguar or, you know, not starve to death when there was a drought and people didn't understand weather patterns yet. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost existentially big, but then you're also like existentially important. Mm-hmm. Like you won the biggest lottery that could possibly exist. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's very special. And you have, you know, you have a unique DNA that nobody quite has. Mm-hmm. And you've had like unique experience that nobody has also had. Mm-hmm. So you're like a very unique as a person. And I feel like that's something that makes me, it makes me feel good to exist. And it makes me feel like being more of myself and trying to like leave a positive impact. And so I think that's the biggest takeaway that I have is not just that we sure are like infinitely small. And when I die, the universe is not gonna like suffer for it or change or anything. But it's also infinitely unlikely that any of us exist at all. Mm-hmm. And I think that that can be as powerful as you want it to be.
Wow.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, great question.
Yeah. Well, that was amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Tyler. We appreciate you coming on a ton. Please tell everyone where they can find you and what you're up to.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. Dr. Star Kid on all socials, so TikTok, Instagram, Dr. Dakota Tyler on YouTube. I upload a couple long form videos every day. And my podcast, Dr. Star Kid, where I talk about a lot of stuff that we've been talking about.
Cool.
Yeah, on a regular basis. So check me out. And thanks again for having me. This was fun.
Cool.
Yeah,
thank you so much for giving us your time.
Well, everyone, that has been Smosh Asks. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.